the Bible from Genesis and, yes, Caroline, but we've been talking about how God reveals himself to you, how God has a plan for you, how God wants to bless you, and tonight, I get to talk about suffering, and so my title is, Where Were You? I'm going to start in Genesis 37, verses 2 through 5. And it says this, Jacob loved Joseph more than any of his other children because Joseph had been born to him in his old age. So one day, Jacob had a special gift made for Joseph, a beautiful robe. But his brothers hated Joseph because his father loved him more than the rest of them. They couldn't say a kind word to him. One night, Joseph had a dream. And when he told his brothers about it, they hated him even more. Okay, so I'm just going to open in prayer and then we'll get started. Well, God, I just thank you that we could come today and just learn about you, Lord God. I just pray that you just open our hearts to hear this message, Lord God. Even if it may be hard and even if it may not be our favorite subject, Lord God, I just pray, Lord God, just teach us tonight. And Lord God, just use me as I speak, Lord God. Thank you. Amen. Okay, suffer. Suffer is to experience pain, illness, or injury. To experience something unpleasant, such as defeat, loss, or damage. To become worse because of being badly affected by something. And my first point for tonight is God is sovereign even in our suffering. And so I'm going to start out talking about Joseph, and then I'm going to go into a little bit of Job, because those are the two major stories in the Bible that talk about suffering. And I'm not going to go through the whole story, so if you don't understand what I'm talking about, go back and read it in your Bible, because if you're not reading your Bible, then you're missing a lot, because the Bible is like the best book you can ever read. It's the way God speaks to us, and so if you don't understand these stories, then Joseph is in Genesis, and Job has his own book, so look him up. So Joseph's brothers wanted to kill him. And like it was talking about in the verse, they hated him because he was Jacob's favorite. And so they hated him so much they wanted to kill him. And then they thought, that's going to be too hard because they'd have to get rid of the body and they'd have to make up an excuse how he died. And so instead they sold him to the Ishmaelites. And the Ishmaelites took him and they sold him to Potiphar, one of Pharaoh's high up officials. He was the captain of his guard, which the guard were like the officers that protected the Pharaoh. And so Potiphar was very wealthy, and so he bought Joseph as a slave. And Joseph served there for 11 years until he became 28 years old. And at 28 years old, I'm going to go into a little bit of, you know, risque subject, but Potiphar's wife started to get the hots for him. And, you know, she wanted to see him naked and, you know, go sleep with him. But Joseph knew this would be against God. Joseph knew that it would be against Potiphar, too. And he said, look, I can't do that. That would be sinning against God and Potiphar. And he knew, because Potiphar's wife was also Joseph's boss, that he was going to get in trouble for it. But still, he stood strong. Still, he did what was right before God and before Potiphar. And see, just like Joseph, we see rejection. Joseph saw rejection from his brothers. He saw rejection from Potiphar because Potiphar didn't believe him that it was his wife and not Joseph who tried to do this action, because she claimed that he tried to force himself on her. But our friends reject us. Our family sometimes rejects us. If your parents get divorced, one of your parents might leave. And you know, you may not see them a lot. They may not want to spend time with you, and it's kind of a form of rejection. The reason this happens and the reason why we feel so rejected is because we feel like people need to We need people to give meaning in our lives, okay? So through the clothes that we wear, because we all have to have the famous clothes, we have to have the right sneakers or the right shirts and the right dresses, whatever it may be, the right style, because people may make fun of us. We need to have the right clothing through the clothes we wear, through the way we act, or how we live our lives. We need people to bring meaning to our lives, because if the people aren't bringing meaning to our lives, we have no clue what is our purpose. But the whole point of it is, and how Joseph stood up, because he knew the true meaning is that God is the one who gives us purpose. It wasn't other people, it wasn't his brothers, it wasn't Potiphar, but it's God who gives us purpose in our lives, not other people, okay? And so because of that, he got punished and he went to prison. And so the second story would be Job. And in this one, God let let the devil attack Job. I'm not there yet. I'm really not there yet. So the story goes like this, because I'll give you some insight of it. The devil goes up to heaven, and he goes and sees God. And God's like, "Where have you been, Satan? Where have you been?" And he's like, "I've been going to and fro on the earth, doing different things." And he's like, "Have you seen my servant Job? He's blameless in everything he does." And the devil says, "Yeah, really? Well, if you let me strike him, if you let me attack him, then he wouldn't be blameless. He'd curse you." And so first God says, "You can attack him, but don't attack his body. You can attack his animals. You can attack everything he has." And he had a lot of stuff. He was very wealthy. But he said, "You can't attack him." But that happens, and Job doesn't curse him. So God's like, "Okay, you can attack his body, but don't kill him." And so Job goes through this whole time. He lost everything he had. He lost his sons and daughters. And then the devil comes, and he brings sickness on him. And so finally, he's depressed, and he's frustrated, and he's wondering, "What's going on? Why am I being attacked?" And then along comes his friends. And he has these three friends, and they're kind of jerks. You know, they come and they condemn him, and they say, "Look, you haven't been following the law," because they thought that if you follow the law and if you do what is right, then God blesses you. But if you don't and you sin and mess up, then that's when suffering comes. And so they're like, "Look, Job, you must have suffered somehow in your life, and you're not blameless, you're not righteous, and God's attacking you because of the things that you have done." And so in our lives, we kind of believe one of three things. We believe that. We believe that the devil is attacking us and that him and God are fighting it out. Or we believe that, like Job, because Job was believing that God was attacking him, but he was righteous and God was making a mistake and he was attacking him for something that Job didn't do. And so when we believe that the devil and God are fighting it out, it's called dualism. I didn't put that up there. It's the belief in two gods, one good and one bad. It's kind of like in Star Wars. You see the light side and you see the dark side. You see Luke Skywalker fighting with Darth Vader, and they're fighting, and one can win over the other, but they're both equally just as strong, right? But it's not like that with the devil and God. The devil was created by God, and God is all-powerful, he's all-knowing, and he's all-present. And so the devil has to submit to him because he's in authority. He's in authority over everything that the devil does. And with Job, he was, the whole reason of my title is he was asking God, "Where were you or where are you in my suffering? If you were here, then I would argue with you. I'd argue my case. I'd tell you, look, I'm right, and you're doing something wrong. You're wrong about this whole subject." And he wanted to go and tell God that he was not correct in the things that he was doing. And so a lot of times, that's the way we are in our lives. We're asking God, "Where were you?" or "Where are you?" And truthfully, if you want God to be in front of you, go back and read Job and the last five chapters of Job and find out, because God comes to him and he's like, Where was I? Where were you? Where were you when I created the earth? Where were you when I created the stars in the skies? Where were you when I created the weather? Are you the one who controls the lightning when it strikes? Are you the one who controls the snow when it storms?" And he kept going on and on about it until Job's like, oh, I'm sorry, God, I'm sorry. And he's like, "Wait, Job, I'm not done. listen, be a man, stand there and take it, because I'm going to tell you more. And after all of this, Job comes and he replies to God. He's like, in Job 42, 1 through 6, which you already have up. So, I know that you can do anything, and no one can stop you. You asked, who is this that questions my wisdom with such ignorance? It is I, and I was talking about things I knew nothing about, things far too wonderful for me. You said, listen, and I will speak. I have some questions for you, and you must answer them. And verse 5 is amazing. He says, I had only heard about you before. So he did not truly know who God was. But now I have seen you with my own eyes. I take back everything I said, and I sit in the dust and ashes to show my repentance. So Job figured out who God truly was. And even though God never answers his question about why he let the devil come in and attack him, he learned something much more about how powerful God was and how he was in control of everything and he was sovereign. And so Job had no right to ask him why he would do something like that. C.S. Lewis says this. But pain insists on being attended to. God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pains. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. And see, a lot of times in suffering, that's when God speaks to us the loudest. Trust me, I know. It's like, that's when you can hear him because you're going through things and you have to look to him rather than looking to other things, because a lot of times we think that we can do things on our own. We think that we have control. We think that in our destiny that we can do it without him. But he brings suffering to us to show us that the only way we can live life is by looking to him and by giving our will to him and letting him control everything, because he's sovereign. Elizabeth Elliot says this, the will of God is never exactly what you expected it to be. It may seem to be much worse, but in the end, it's going to be a lot better and a lot bigger. And it's like, okay, so that brings me into my second point. God has a future plan. C.S. Lewis says, hardships often prepare ordinary people for an extraordinary destiny. And see, Joseph, in his going through his suffering, he was a bratty 17-year-old kid when he started. And of course, he had to know that his brothers had issues with him, but yet still, he has this dream about how he's going to rule over them. And he goes out and he tells them, it's like, hey, guess what? I'm going to come over, I'm going to rule over you, you're going to bow down to me. He knows they hate him, but still he's all like, oh yeah, this is going to be great. It's going to be so great, guys. But see, the part of that he didn't realize, and the part of the thing that when God brings us promises, when God tells us things, is that he didn't tell him the other side. He didn't reveal to him the part about his imprisonment, that he was going to have to go through all this suffering in order to get to the place where God showed him he would be. He had to mature Joseph. Through each of his trials, it prepared him for something greater. So as he was in Potiphar's house, it prepared him. Then into the prison, it prepared him until he was ready to rule over all of Egypt. Because when Pharaoh promoted him, he ruled over everything. He had everything that Pharaoh owned, and he ran it. See, in our lives, like you guys, you're going through middle school, and then you'll go through high school, and then you'll go through college, and then you'll go and get a job, and so you're going to know, or think you know, what you want to do in life. And you're going to have a plan, because we always have our 5-year plans, we have our 10-year plans, and they're locked in. But, you know, sometimes God's like, that's not what I want you to do with your life. I may want you to do something else. And he may shake us up, he may bring suffering upon us in order to change the place where he wants us to go, and to prepare us for the real thing that he wants in our lives. In my life, last summer, I got really depressed because I was going through ulcerative colitis, which I told everybody about. It's a thing I poop a lot. And so I was going through ulcerative colitis, And, you know, I really didn't feel effective at church. And I'm like, God, do you have something else for me? But truthfully, I really didn't care because I was mad. I was mad that he was striking me with a sickness. I was mad that I didn't feel like I had a worth, like I meant anything at the church. I'm like, I'm doing nothing here. And so I planned to quit. And I told Pastor Josh, I'm like, look, I'm going to quit. But see, the whole point of it was that I was trying to run away. I was trying to run away because a lot of times through our suffering, it gets hard. And it's like, we think, it's too much. It's too much. And I can't do what God wants me to do. And in my life, I felt like that. I felt like God was pushing me too much. And the Bible says that he won't give you more than you can handle. But it felt like it was. It felt like so much more than I could take. And so I just wanted to run away. But thanks to Pastor Josh, he wouldn't let me. But we say we understand grace, but when suffering comes at us, we see God as a tyrant who doesn't want what's best for us. Because I was just like Job. I was like, where are you, God? Where are you when I need you? Because you're not there, and I really don't trust you in the things that you're doing. Because I didn't. I didn't trust him. I didn't trust him to do what was best for me, to have the plans that were best. Because what I wanted was prosperity. What I wanted was flowers and roses and all the nice things that come in life. But that's not always the way it works. We tend to be all like, God, I ordered bacon, but instead you gave me poop. That's how we are. Because we want something great, and we hear these prosperity messages and are all like, that's what being a Christian is all about. It's like being able to have that boat and that car, that great job, and God just blesses you and blesses you and blesses you when he's revealing himself to you, and the more that you try to reach out towards him, right? But that's not the way it is. You're going to go through those times where you feel like all he's giving you is poop, and all you're doing is getting trashed on and being worked through. We can't see the things that God is doing. Only God can see the big picture. It's kind of like a puzzle. You may have a few pieces and you may know what the puzzle may be, but until you get it done, you're not going to know the full picture. And in our lives, all we have is a few pieces. We don't have the full picture, but God can see the whole thing. He knows exactly what's going to happen. He knows that great thing that he has in your life, the great thing that he wants to bring you through into, but we feel blind because we can't see the rest of it. And through our suffering, it makes us just want to not get to that end point because it's too hard. Did I already say this? No, I didn't. But God's perfect. He's kind of like our fathers when you have your father and he takes care of you, right? But our fathers in life aren't perfect and they mess up. They may do something bad to you. They may not always come through, and you may get upset with them. But God is perfect, and he's not like our human fathers. He knows exactly what you need before you even ask for it, and he knows what he has to give you in order to get to that place, or what suffering to let you endure in order to get there. In Romans 8:28, it says, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. And 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, so whether you eat or drink or go to school or play video games or watch movies or hang out with your friends or talk to your parents, now that I messed it up, whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God, okay? And question 4 in the catechism says, how and why did God create us? And it says, God created us male and female in his own image to know him, love him, live with him, and glorify him. And it is right that we who are created by God should live in his glory. And so everything we do is about God's glory. We sang like 3 songs tonight about it. It's all for his glory. But we forget that. We want to do our own will. We want the glory to be ours. Because sometimes when God's glory gets tough, it's like, I can't do that. And really, it doesn't feel like the best thing for me. But everything we do is always should be for his glory, because by doing the things that is for God's glory is going to bring us to the place where God wants us to be and to bring us to the purpose and the plan that he has for our lives, which is always better. It's always better than what we want for ourselves. Where am I? I don't have that up there either. In our lives, though, especially through suffering, but even in just general living our lives, we need accountability. And one of the best people to be accountable to is your small group leaders. Like when you're going through suffering, when you're going through things in your lives that you're just having troubles with, you should be talking to them. You should be telling them what you're going through. You should be asking them what are things that you can do to help you through it. You know, because they're probably praying for you. Well, I hope they're praying for you. And God can give them insight, but also they can give you wisdom into your lives. See, Job had Elihu, which was his fourth friend, and he was the younger of the four friends, and he waited. And even though Job didn't ask him to speak, he comes and he speaks, and he tells Job what he's doing wrong, and he tells the other three friends how they're condemning him and how they're wrong in what they're doing. And he gives Job insight into how God wants him to live and how he's doing wrong by what he's saying. Okay, so Job's kind of being accountable to him, even though he didn't really want to be. Elizabeth Elliot says, "Our vision is so limited, we can hardly imagine a love that does not show itself in protection from suffering. The love of God did not protect his own son. He will not necessarily protect us. Not from anything it takes to make us like his son. A lot of hammering and chiseling and purifying by fire will have to go into the process." And see, God let Jesus suffer. And that brings me to point three, is Jesus suffered for us. And Tim Keller says, "Only through weakness and pain did God save us and show us, in the deepest way possible, the infinite depth of his grace and love for us. God is active beneath the surface of things, even when he seems absent at times." And then Jesus says in Luke 22:42, "Father, if you are willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine." And we all love movies, right? Movies and books, stories, right? Everybody here loves stories? No? No, nobody loves stories. But the thing about the stories is we love stories when there's a hero, right? And every hero, in order to start out on his destiny, has to go through trials and has to go through suffering in order to prepare him for the things that they're going to go through or may come through suffering along the way. We see Frodo Baggins, right? He takes the ring. He has to go to, what is the mount? Mount Doom, right? And he has to take the ring up to Mount Doom. And along the way, he goes through a lot of suffering, and he goes through all these trials, and he even comes to a point where he doesn't even think he can do it. And then we see in The Hunger Games, Katniss Everdeen, she goes from playing The Hunger Games, right, to going to the rebellion for the capital. And then we have Star Wars. Wait, Star Wars, there's Anakin Skywalker, Luke Skywalker, Rey, and they're all fighting the dark side, and they all go through things in their lives that have to make them grow. And God lets us go through pain in order to grow us, to be ready for the destiny he has for us. But the difference between the movies of these heroes and our lives, we're not the hero. Jesus is the hero. Jesus came to live a life that we couldn't live and die a death that we couldn't die so that we could go and live with God, right? Because the suffering was so great that Jesus went through, just like in Luke 22:42, it says, he wasn't crying out, "God, let your will be done," because I don't want to go through the pain of going on the cross and getting those nails stuck in my hands and being whipped. But it was because he was going to be separated from God. It was because God was the one who would punish Jesus. He punished his own son so that we could be saved, so that our debt could be paid. And that was the part, being separate from God was the part that he didn't want to go through because it was so traumatic, it was so hurtful, it would be something that we couldn't even bear. Well, because a lot of people died on the cross in life. Peter died upside down. It wasn't something that we couldn't bear, dying on the cross. Jesus wasn't jumping up and down excited to do it. See, he knows our suffering because he lived a whole human life. And he died a human death. Okay? And so, the last thing I want to say is just the quote by Oswald Chambers that says, "No healthy Christian ever chooses suffering. He chooses God's will as Jesus did, whether it meant suffering or not." And so in our lives, I just want you to walk away with knowing that we should always choose God's will over ours. No matter how hard it is, no matter how much it hurts, and no matter how much suffering we have to go through in order to reach the goals that God wants for us, we should always look to him over looking to our own needs and our own desires. Okay, so I'm just going to close and then we'll go to a small group, so. Well, God, I just thank you that we could come and learn about you. Lord, I just pray, even as we suffer in life, that we always look to you. And even in our frustration, even in our hurt, God, I just pray that we always remember that you let us go through suffering in order to prepare us, in order to make us better. And even as we ask you to reveal yourself to us, that's the time when you're going to speak to us, is through our suffering, God. And I just pray that you help us through these times, and you just help us to know, Lord God, who you are, and just speak to us through these times, Lord God, and just take out the things that are not right in our lives, the things that shouldn't be there, Lord God, and just make us more like you. And I just thank you for all you do in our lives. And Jesus, I just thank you for dying on the cross for us. Amen.
That was awesome. Thanks, Fucci. Where were you? All right, guys, let's definitely continue. I think we can have some good discussion because we're all going through things in our lives, and I think we can continue the discussion in our small groups. So grab a chair, throw it back up, and let's hit up small groups and chat a little bit more about this.